to the Red Pill Retirement Podcast, where we give you the raw, unfiltered truth about retirement planning in the modern age. Pensions and 401ks are quickly becoming a thing of the past, so we're here to share resources and recommendations that will help you create the retirement lifestyle you've always dreamed of. If you're ready to take control of your financial future, we're here to help. Let's get started. Hey everyone, we have another great interview with Mr. Ian Bond for you today. And as you might have guessed from the title of this episode, it's all about a very entertaining and a very interesting story that Ian likes to tell around a desk that he keeps in his home, which he affectionately refers to as the $2 million IKEA desk. Now, of course, the desk itself is not worth that much money. If you know anything about IKEA, you know that that is not a price point that they operate at. But what happens at that desk is worth $2 million to Ian and to his family. And without giving away too much detail, in this episode, we're going to talk about how that kind of outcome, that $2 million worth of value coming from an IKEA desk, is a viable outcome for you and anybody else who listens to this episode. And Ian's going to tell his personal story of how his wife made that IKEA desk worth the $2 million that we're talking about and what went into that process, and then how you can use that as a blueprint to replicate that kind of outcome in your life and have a $2 million IKEA desk of your own. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Normally, I like to give a little bit more of a teaser, but the nature of this story requires that I keep most of that a secret until you actually listen to the episode, and it'll make a lot more sense at the end. So I'll come back after my discussion here with Ian, and I will tie up any loose ends that still exist. But in the meantime, I hope that you enjoy our conversation. I know that I did. And without further ado, let's get into that discussion with Ian. Back to the Red Pill Retirement Podcast. I'm your host, James Sowers, and as always, I'm joined by Mr. Ian Bond. Ian, how is it going over there today?
It's going fantastic, James. It's good to hook up with you again. It's been too long.
Yeah, same. And I always love talking to you and looking forward to it. And I'm especially looking forward to what we're going to talk about today, because if the folks are watching on YouTube, they can see in the background there that you're at your home. And right there behind you is a desk set up with a computer monitor. And today we're actually going to be talking about that desk. So why don't you tell us what's so special about that desk behind you there, Ian?
Okay, so that's what we refer to as the $2 million IKEA desk. And the reason that we refer to it as the $2 million IKEA desk is that we purchased a website from Empire Flippers back in November of 2016. That website was generating about, on an annualized basis, probably about $300,000 in revenue, or $250,000 in revenue. When we purchased it, maybe on a monthly basis, $20,000 to $25,000. And last year, that website generated $2 million. And so just that one website is the reason we call that the $2 million IKEA desk. That one is a blonde IKEA wood. The one I'm sitting at is dark wood. That one's much more valuable than this one. Okay.
Well, just out of curiosity, do you know what that desk actually costs at IKEA? I'm guessing it's a couple hundred dollars, maybe.
I was just going to say it'd be a lot if it's a couple hundred dollars. These are really, bare bones desks. They have a lot of table space. But my wife works off that desk when my kids are at school, and when my kids have afternoon activities, whether that's at a soccer pitch or whether that's at an ice rink. Both of my kids are skaters. My wife will work off her laptop and work around their schedules. And she doesn't have to go to a big building anymore. She used to work on Wall Street and worked for an investment bank. And when we relocated overseas, we thought ahead and said, well, you know, should she really get another job that's really not, as easy for the following spouse to find a job when they move overseas? And we said, no, what we should do is what something I've been had been thinking about for some time during kind of this 5-year journey that we talked about in the Red Pill Retirement conversation, and we said no, let's develop location independent income, and so that's when we made the decision. We bought our first site in October of 2015. We bought our first site in October. It went so well the following month, November of 2015, we bought the second site. And literally the first site, we were closing on the first site the weekend we moved into the apartment you're looking at. So, you know, so I said, here you go, honey. Let's go.
And it's been a wild ride ever since, I'm sure. And just for anybody who's just joining us today, what Ian is talking about is you accepted a professional position and you actually moved abroad first. And you were there for several months, I do believe. And then the family came to visit once. They loved it. And then they came and joined you for an indefinite stay. So when you say the following spouse, that's what we're getting at. And as you mentioned, a lot of times when the following spouse gets in country, you have to make a decision if they're going to try to find a job. And what you guys chose to do was to acquire a business, an existing business, and grow that and use that as a revenue stream. So just to clear things up for the folks at home, that's what's happening with that story. And what I love about the headline, the $2 million IKEA desk, is that when somebody thinks about a multi-million dollar business, in my mind, I think of some penthouse office in New York City that's overlooking Manhattan. And, you know, there's glass windows and doors everywhere and people are wearing suits. But the reality is, in this day and age, that's kind of an outdated model. And it happens. There are certainly large businesses that are run like that. And there are folks clocking in 9 to 5 every day. But technology and the economy has changed in such a way that you can run a multi-million dollar business from a $200 IKEA desk anywhere in the world. And that's what you guys are living. So that's what I love about this story. So tell us a little bit about, take us back to that day. You said November 2015, you are thinking about acquiring the site. Talk about why you decided to acquire an existing business in the first place. Sure. And maybe some of the criteria that you were looking through to vet or validate a business for, because I'm assuming that based on what you've told me here, that it was not an insignificant amount of money that you were investing in this. So I'm sure that you did some due diligence around, and just tell the folks at home, you know, what you were thinking, what your thought process was to make sure that you weren't just throwing your money at like a money pit, something that was just going to go away the next day. So talk about your thought process there a little
bit. So the first thing I like to do is, you know, remind people that when I took the job in September of 2014, my family stayed behind and I found myself after work having a lot of free time and, you know, kind of no family. And so quite frankly, it was a bit lonely, but I threw myself into all things e-commerce. And so what that meant was, and I'm a strong believer that, and I spent an enormous amount of money on courses and coaches and things like that. But I think that if you're going to, and I realized that, you know, at the time I was in my late 50s, that the reality was that I could accelerate my success by buying an existing site as opposed to building a site. But in order to understand the value creation process or the value of an existing site, I really need to have to look at it through the lens of a builder. So I believe that you should join the courses of people that are building things to understand kind of the nuts and bolts of what creates value. All right, so that's a big deal. The second thing, you know, I've been a wealth manager for, you know, over 36 years, and I had allocated a pool of capital that I was going to spend to attempt to replicate what venture capitalists do. And what venture capitalists and private equity fund managers do is they put, you know, kind of small amounts of money into a number of bets, and generally, you know, one of those bets, you know, returns multiple times what the entire fund will return. And the other stuff, you know, might return a little, might lose a little, or you might lose it all. Okay. And so that was the strategy. I call this this is literally what we refer to, you know, as the venture capital strategy of investing in websites. I will tell you that at the beginning, when we started, what we were looking for in and what appealed to me is that this is a very large niche. I like things that are in the house, household things. I think I understand them. They're certainly not super niche-y where it's a, you know, potentially a hobby or something that I might not know much about. And, you know, things that are, you can stumble across between, you know, your bedroom and your living room or your bedroom and your bathroom. You know, everybody's going to be looking for these things in their homes sooner or later. So it was a very large niche. I bought it from someone who had built the store, very smart guy, had put a lot of thought into it. I used Empire Flippers, which is a firm that I know, trust. I like the people there a lot. Their due diligence is well-regarded. And we paid $25,500, if I recall correctly, for the website. And then we embarked on what I would call a 15-month struggle. And, you know, if you're reading about, if you're reading about what others are doing online, all you read about is how they're crushing it. And on a day-to-day basis, you know, they're doing incredibly well. And every day in 2016, it felt like, you know, it felt like dentistry. I mean, it felt like we were, you know, struggling every day. We were making mistakes. It's very different than the corporate world. We would try something, it wouldn't work. Then we'd get surprised by something we hadn't anticipated. And we struggled, but we struggled and, you know, built the income. Our original income from the site, back when we purchased it, was about $1,250. So that gives you the ratio of what we paid in terms of a multiple of the income. But we got it up to, you know, kind of the $4,000 or $5,000 by doing some things that we thought were, you know, relatively low-hanging fruit. But it was very volatile. And you know, every time we had something, you know, kind of negative happen, it felt like it was, you know, kind of a, you know, it felt like a body blow, to be honest. And then, you know, as I've described, we hit upon a strategy at the end of 2016. And by the spring of 2017, the site took off in sales and we accomplished just under $2 million in revenues, $1,970,000 or $1,980,000 in 2017. And now in 2018, we're above what we were in 2017. And so I felt comfortable enough that, we called it the $2 million IKEA desk. Now, what I'm not telling you about, okay, are a bunch of other sites that we own that either we really haven't developed well because, you know, we, have focused on this particular site because it's working so well. One huge, humongous failure that we had where I believe we've lost all our money. So the idea that you don't spend all of your money on, you know, one thing is particularly poignant because we lost all of our money on another $25,000 investment. And that's probably a topic for another conversation, but that happened. So, you know, our return, if you just kind of think of what the monthly numbers might be, would probably be 25 or 30x what we paid for this website. And because, you know, we live 8 time zones ahead of the United States, the reality is that when we built this site, we had to build it such that it would run while we were asleep. And so, you know, that's really, there's quite a bit of value in doing that because buyers of websites want to buy businesses. They don't want to buy jobs. And so, you know, we have standard operating procedures. We have a team in place that handles everything. It takes very little of our intervention. And when I say our, I am not involved in the operations of the business. I don't know any of the people that work for us. I don't speak to them. I don't know any of the suppliers. I know everybody by name and what my wife tells me. And I kind of think of the high level strategy, but my wife handles all of that no matter where she is. Now, the fact that the desk is right here behind me is totally incidental to the revenue. My wife happens to be in Eastern Europe right now with my kids. My son's at a hockey camp in Slovakia. And, you know, she's conducting business from her laptop, while she's on, while she's away for a couple of weeks. And so one of the beauties of this business model that we've chosen is exactly that. We've done this while we've been on holidays, family vacations together. She has done this when she's done other things. She helped my older daughter get settled in an apartment where she had an internship. So the desk is incidental to the business. It's all run, from the outset. It's all being run, with you know, kind of the end in mind being, you know, kind of location independence.
Right, right. And I love several parts about that story, but one in particular that I want to unpack is right back at the very beginning, where most people, you know, when we're talking about retirement planning and more specifically funding a retirement, there are traditional retirement vehicles that everybody knows. You got your 401k with your employer matching, you've got IRAs, you've got brokerage accounts. And the way that those things work is you kind of put your money in there and you cross your fingers and you hope that the market does well and that you get some kind of, you know, single digit or low double digit return on your investment. And that's kind of it. You just hope for the best. And you know, I like to say hope is not a strategy. I'd much rather have control over my destiny as much as I can. And so what you guys decided to do was buy an existing business, knowing that as long as you put in the work to grow that business, essentially the upside or the potential, the earning potential from that business was uncapped. And there's really, I mean, as much as the market will bear, I mean, there's sure there's a number somewhere out there that you could get 100% market share in the home goods sector. And that would be the limit, but that's not going to happen. So essentially your earning potential is unlimited. And the way that I was thinking about it, as you were describing it, is when you go, let's say you want to get some food and you have two options. You can go to the grocery store and you can buy your fruits and vegetables there, or you can start a garden. And as long as you tend to that garden and you put in the work, you can produce exponentially more fruits and vegetables from your garden at a lower price point, as long as you put in the effort. But most people opt for convenience. And that's kind of the way I think most people approach retirement. They just put their money away in traditional vehicles that everybody's talking about, and they hope for a small return. But if you want an outsized return, if you want to double, triple, or even quadruple your money or more, this is a model that can work. And you're buying a business that generates revenue today, and you're investing that capital up front, and you're saying, I'm going to show up every single day. I'm going to make this business a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. And then 3 years from now, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to have 5x'd my money. And that's a retirement vehicle that just, you, it's hard to find a comparison to. It's hard to find a better alternative as long as you continue to show up and do that work. Is that a sentiment that you think that you would agree with?
Yeah. And I think with regards to, being in my late 50s when we kind of went down this path, and in keeping with the theme behind Red Pill Retirement and the no nest egg retirement plan, you know, we don't have a huge, you know, nest egg that can compound out over a long period of time. What we have is compounding at market rates, and it's doing so safely, but it's not going to afford us, what we would ultimately want or need. Whereas a private business, you do have the, unlimited upside. We decided specifically to buy, not build, because most new businesses fail. And once you have the ability to look at something that has succeeded, this asset class is a new asset class. It's undiscovered. The information is difficult to get your arms around. All things that I've written a lot about. And so it offers a tremendous opportunity. Now, in my day job, I'm a wealth manager, and I'm extremely familiar with every investment strategy that's practical for institutions and wealthy individuals. And in fact, I know the fund managers of some of the sexiest and most interesting strategies personally. And I've done this for a very long period of time. The asset class of investing in websites is tremendously attractive, but it's not like, you know, investing in a paper asset class. Okay, this is one where you have to be an operator, so you assume that responsibility. Along with that is the journey that you just talked about. Every day you're going in and trying to improve it and trying to make it better. One of my coaching clients had a conversation with him, really down in the dumps, over the weekend. He had been living and bootstrapping a business that he's building in Medellin, Colombia, went back home to visit family. The site had been making good progress. He was having a bad month. He gets back home and visits family and friends. They don't understand what he's doing. They don't understand why he's not working. And he's in a funk, okay? And I, had a call with him over the weekend, and I say, look, every day this is a lonely business, and it's a struggle, and there's nobody to talk to. I said, but if you keep at it, what happens is, and you know, what's happened in my case is in 2 years, we've had two smart things that we've done, or that we got lucky and stumbled across after trying lots of things that didn't work, and suddenly things really work. But you got to be able to stick with it. And so, you know, he's now back on the right side of happiness. Okay. But that's just par for the course.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we don't mean to paint a dismal picture of entrepreneurship or owning a business, but the fact of the matter is it can be a slog at times. But there are folks out there who are doing this just like your wife, and they are in many cases willing to talk to you about if you're considering this as a path, and you can manage to connect with them and say, hey, I'm thinking about buying a business. I know that you've already done this and you've managed to grow yours. So do you have a few minutes? Can I get some of your time? Can I book some of your time to learn from your journey and help guide my journey? Because I'm way back here at the starting point and you've already been through this. In my experience, those folks are generally very generous with their time because they want to see other people succeed, and your success does not prevent my success. I think that if you're on the fence about this, there are a couple of points that I think we should make very clear. One is you don't have to be like Ian and invest $25,000 upfront. I mean, if you want a business that's generating a substantial amount of monthly revenue right off the bat, then yes, that's the facts of life. That's what you're going to have to be willing to invest upfront in order to pull down those monthly dividends every single month, knowing that if you grow the business, you'll get a return on your investment much quicker. There are other opportunities to buy sites that are lower in value, but also earn less per month. Or you could start one from scratch. Like you mentioned, you can literally build an e-commerce site from nothing. And if you're willing to put in the sweat equity up front, that's totally a viable option too. So if you're listening at home and you're saying, well, I can't do what Ian did, I don't have $25,000 laying around, that may be true, but there are other channels that you can pursue to end up in the same place and be running a $2 million business from an IKEA desk a few years from now. So that path is still open to you. And the other thing that I wanted to hammer home is not only do you not have to have that much capital to invest up front, but you don't have to do it alone. And it can be lonely, it can be isolating, but it doesn't have to be, because communities exist around brands like Empire Flippers and around brands like Retirement Rehab of folks that are doing this already and are there to be a peer or a mentor or a coach or whatever it is that you're looking for to pursue this as a retirement opportunity or just a professional endeavor on the back end of your career. You know, it's a viable alternative regardless of what you want to get out of it in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I'm involved in a number of online communities, everything from one where it's a bunch of super geeks on e-commerce. I am clearly way behind. And I've said this before, the monthly fees that I paid for that, just one kernel of wisdom I get, from that pays for the whole year. It's amazing. These guys really geek out on things that I've never even considered, to be honest with you. And then I've, also been involved in other online communities where people are building or people are owners. And people are incredibly generous, as you mentioned, with their time. And if they know something, it's exactly the truth. It's not a zero sum game. The biggest trend in wealth management to make money is to get in front of a big deal, get in front of a big trend. The trend in e-commerce is massive, okay? We're at the very beginning of it. Look at what Amazon has done. I guarantee you, 5 years from now, we're going to be doing much more e-commerce, not much less. So getting into this, getting your piece of this trend now, you can probably be a subpar operator and do quite well, to be honest with you. There are just an enormous number of opportunities. Now, I can tell you, because I have a friend in the UK that I partner with, the UK and the EU is behind the United States. So there are opportunities in the EU, or UK, Australia, that are even behind the United States. The United States is becoming more competitive. Will it be the same opportunity in 5 years? No. Do something today. If you're hearing this, think about it today, because it's a phenomenal opportunity right now. Now, I do believe that as the information becomes better disseminated, more organized, people get more comfortable with the concept, that the valuations will go up and it will become more investable to bigger pools of capital. And so I think that you can make money, you know, buying at today's multiples from multiple expansion. But I also think that you can, that the opportunities to grow businesses is very unique today also. So I think that there's, you know, kind of a, you know, the best of both worlds is that you can make money both ways.
Right. Yeah. So great points there. I think just to kind of package this all together, circling back to your wife's $2 million IKEA desk there behind you, it is worth $2 million today, but it didn't happen overnight. And it took some investment up front. It took a lot of investment in time and energy and in resources over the course of a couple of years. But the fact of the matter is today it is worth $2 million. And that kind of outcome is a realistic outcome for anybody who's listening to this podcast right now. You just have to be willing to put in the work. You have to be smart about the way you approach it. And you have to lean on people who have done it before for the mentorship and support and guidance to make that a reality. And I will say that today's episode is all about e-commerce. But I know, Ian, you talk about several other ways that you can pursue alternative retirement vehicles. And we will cover those in a future episode. So if this doesn't seem like a perfect fit, then there are other opportunities like coaching, speaking, consulting that might be more within your wheelhouse. So if you find yourself on that boat, do not despair. We are going to cover that in a future episode. But just any parting words here, Ian, specifically about your wife's desk, e-commerce, and buying an existing business and using that as a retirement vehicle that can generate revenue and that you can, frankly, operate from anywhere in the world.
Yeah. So, you know, it does, it's not worth $2 million. That's the revenue that we generate. Obviously we have a profit margin on that revenue and we work on that profit margin. So the desk itself is not worth $2 million. That's the revenue. And in fact, right now it's worth nothing because the computer's not on. The computer's on someplace in Central Europe or in Eastern Europe right now. So, it's not the desk, it's the concept. The concept is that you can generate money, revenues from, you know, any place where you can have an internet connection. And so we chose e-commerce. I've said this before, because I think it's fairly intuitive. Most people shop online and we kind of understand it, kind of sort of like we understand real estate. You know, when you walk into an apartment or a home, what the value should be. Well, I think, you know, it's somewhat similar in terms of kind of buying physical goods e-commerce businesses. And we wrote a piece talking about why you should start with physical goods e-commerce businesses as your first purchase. But, you know, that's the, you know, that's the real takeaway. For us, it's, you know, essentially going to be an enormous addition to our, and really kind of the foundation for our retirement, you know, when we choose to go that direction. And that, you know, was all kind of generated over the last 3 years. So,
yep. Perfect way to cap it off. And, you know, I'm sure that if you want to learn more about the story behind that desk and some of the complimentary topics that Ian just touched on, they're all available at myretirementrehab.me. And we will also link up the relevant articles here in the show notes. But as I mentioned, that's going to wrap it up for today. But we will cover alternative channels and we'll probably dive a little bit deeper into e-commerce as a retirement vehicle and buying existing businesses in future episodes. So until next time, I'm going to go ahead and sign off here for myself and Ian. Great talking to you as always. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks, James. Have a good one. Appreciate your time.
All right. Take care.
All right, folks. So there you have it. That concludes my conversation with Ian Bond about his wife's infamous $2 million IKEA desk. And now that you've heard the story behind it, it probably makes a lot more sense why we say the desk itself is not worth $2 million. It's what takes place at that desk that is worth $2 million to Ian and his family. And as we talked about in the episode, that kind of outsized return does not happen overnight. It took a lot of sweat equity. It took a lot of discipline. There were a lot of setbacks and challenges. But the point that we want to hammer home to you is that this is a viable outcome for you and for everybody else who listened to this episode. You can get started today, and with enough time and energy and resource investment, a couple years from now, you can be sitting in the same position, looking at the desk in your home or wherever you like to do your work from, and saying that desk or that couch or that outside table on your patio is also worth $2 million. And so today we covered how you can buy an existing business that's already generating revenue and focus your efforts on growing that business and not only returning your original investment, but also expanding from there and expanding the monthly and annual revenue associated with that business. Or you could do the same thing, but start from scratch. It's just going to take you a little bit longer. Either way is a viable pursuit of the same outcome, and that is to create a location-independent business that you can operate at an IKEA desk or from anywhere in the world. So we talked a lot about how Ian and his wife got to where they are today, and that kind of story can be yours as well. And we shared some tips and resources for how you can get started on that journey yourself. So of course, as usual, everything we talked about today will be linked up in the show notes. And if you want to learn more about the story behind that desk, about some of the concepts and the resources that we talked about today, you can visit redpillretirement.com and look for episode 4, which is all about my wife's $2 million IKEA desk. And of course, in that phrase, the my is Ian himself, and it's Ian's wife who runs her business from that desk. So if you enjoyed the story today, I would love to hear about your experience or your thoughts in the form of a review on iTunes. And you can always go to myretirementrehab.me and hit the contact link and reach out to Ian directly. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode and any other episode of the Red Pill Retirement podcast that you have listened to and enjoyed and gotten value from. So until next time, thank you so much for listening today. And here's to hoping that you take action on the advice we shared today and go out and start building that $2 million IKEA desk of your own. So until next time, we'll talk to you later and have a great day.